So we have five conditions of good confession. First, we have to be sorry, yes? Then we have to make a resolution not to sin again, yes? Then we go to confession. We go to the priest to confess our sins. And in this case, you have to be honest. If you're not honest, if you lie in confession, sin, the confession is not valid. Even if the priest gives you absolution, you're not forgiven. Yes? So you need to be honest. You need to confess, to name your sin. Yes, I did this and this and this and this. Again, you cannot be to be specific. For example, if you say, I swore, you don't have to name all bad words that you used. No, you don't have to. You don't have to, yes? Or if I have impure thoughts, you don't have to describe precisely what kind of thoughts you have. No, no. Don't do it even for the sake of the priest, because the priest doesn't have to. He has to listen to that, even to protect him from imaginations. You know, but you have to be honest to say, to name. Yes, so for example, no, I did this and this. Now, of course, also not to gain, but to be honest means, for example, if you say, I have stolen a rope or a chain. Oh, what's that? No problem. But you don't mention that a cow was attached to this rope. Yeah? So you have to be honest. Yeah? You have to be honest and to say, yes, I did this and this and this 2-3 times, or I have mentioned, especially grave sin. I missed Mass 2 times, for example. Yeah? I'm guilty for that. Yeah? That's why you have to be honest. When you confess your sin, don't be afraid. I know we feel, what do we feel at this moment? Kind of embarrassment. Embarrassment. I do the same. I feel the same when I go to the priest, another priest, kneel down and confess my sins. I also feel kind of embarrassment. But let's accept this negative feeling, yeah? As a penance, as a kind of penance, part of penance, yeah? I don't feel great, yeah? When speaking for myself, yeah? But I need to, I know that I have to say to the priest this and this and this, what I did. And Armand mentioned, that why do we have to go to the priest? Because I can make a confession in front of the cross. Some people say that. A priest is also a sinner. Yeah? As I said in the beginning, the priest represents the community of the church. And if I want to be reconciled with the community of the church, I need a proof. I need to hear this statement. That I am forgiven. Yes? But how do I know that I am forgiven? Because believe me, sooner or later, Satan will try to undermine your faith or ruin your faith in God's love and forgiveness. How do you know that you are forgiven? Maybe God never forgave you. How do you know that? But if the priest says, I absolve you from your sins. He says that in the name of the church and in the name of Jesus. Note, the priest does not say to you, Christ absolves you. The priest, when he has a special words of absolution, says, I absolve you. So who says that at this moment? In fact, not the priest, Jesus. Jesus uses his voice only. The priest is like a receiver of telephone. You have to use it. This is Jesus' will. Yes? So, this is a proof at the same time. Because the priest acts in the name of the church. That's why the priest, through the ministry of the church, I absolve you from your sins. In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So, if you're honest, if you confess your sins are forgiven, for sure. Even if sometimes you may have doubts later on, or maybe I'm not forgiven. Don't listen to this voice, because you heard the statement, the official statement of Jesus. I absolve you from your sins. That is why we need to go to confession, to the priest. So confession is very important. What happens if you forget a sin? You have a list of sins, but you forgot it. You forgot one sin, especially grave sin, because you felt a little bit nervous. Yeah? So, don't worry. You may confess it next time when you go to confession. You may confess next time. What happens if the priest is not nice? Or maybe nervous and even rude, even kind of now impatient. Don't worry. He's only a poor instrument in the hands of God. Yes? If you don't like this priest, you may go to another priest. So it's good to find a good confessor. Yeah? I invite you, if you are serious about your spiritual life, so then try to find a good confessor or spiritual director who will help you to go to lead you to Jesus, to holiness. Yeah? But sometimes even in my life happened that a few times I met a priest who was kind of like not kind of even nasty or impatient or angry, upset about something, yeah. Well, that's fine, accept it as a penance, but you don't have to go next time to this priest. Yeah? If you feel kind of now maybe feel hurt even by him, remember he is a sinner. He is a human being. He should not do it. But life is life. Yeah? Sometimes we may find a priest who is not nice in confession. It could be a bad day or whatever. Maybe it's hard having difficulties. Yeah, of course you may say to the priest, you know, Father, I think that at this moment you should represent Jesus here, not yourself. Yeah, you should represent God's love, not yourself. Yeah, you may say that. But don't worry too much about it. Don't worry. Yeah, but honestly, let's be honest. It doesn't happen often. Because sometimes if it happens, it happens very, very rarely. I met maybe twice in my life when I went to confession and priest was, that kind of like a grumpy a little bit. Yeah, but that's okay. The most important, as long as you give me absolution, fine. Yes. But also, pray for this priest. Pray for any priest, for the confessor. Yeah? Before you go to confession, you should pray for a confessor, for his openness. Yeah? That God will speak to you through him. Yeah? That he will be the open channel of God's grace. Yeah? So, confession. Then we have what? Penance. Yes, the priest gives you to do something. Yes, so try to do penance as soon as possible, right after confession. If you forget, then you have to mention next time when you go to confession that I forgot my penance. Yeah? Yeah? And there's a situation that the priest can give you a penance that you will not be able to fulfill. What to do? Tell the priest, Father, I'm not able to fulfill this penance because of my job, because the priest says, okay, at 5 p.m. At 5 p.m. you should go to the church and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But you can say, I'm at work, I cannot do it. Yeah, so be honest and tell the priest, for example. Yeah, but the priest usually will give a penance that is very, very small penance. You know, it is not the same penance like it used to be. Yeah, like for adultery, long time ago, was a 5 years of penance. Imagine. Mm-hmm. So we're praying outside of the church, asking people for prayer. Then you, for one next year, you could participate in the mass only up to a certain time, up to the offertory time, and after that you're supposed to leave, and then to witnesses to prove that you are okay, and so on. So many people began to drop off from the church because the penance was too hard to fulfill. Yeah? So the church slowly, you know, diminished penance. Yeah? And today it's just one prayer, could be good deed, whatever, or it's a donation. Yeah? It has more symbolic meaning right now. Yeah? But still, we need to do it. We need to do it. Yeah? If we don't do a penance, we have to do it after our death in purgatory. Yes? So, that's a confession. So, when you go to confession, you bless yourself and you start, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is my," in your case, in the case who are going to go to receive this first time sacrament, you say, "This is my first sacrament of reconciliation, and these are my sins." So, you can name your sins, yeah? You have a little outline how to do it. Then, after that, that's all sins I remember, I'm aware of. I'm very sorry for all my sins. Then priest can give you a little instruction, yeah? Instruction, little lesson, okay? Maybe giving you some advices, and gives you absolute, you do act of contrition, and the priest gives you absolution at the end. This absolution is very important. You have to hear, and you have to, don't leave the confession too soon, because you have to be forgiven. When the priest says over you, "I absolve from your sins," at this moment you are forgiven. That's a very important, essential part of confession. "I absolve you from your sins." The priest blesses you. You bless yourself. And at the end you say, "Amen." You can say, "Thank you, Father," or "Thanks be to God," and go. Okay? So that's confession looks like. Yeah? So next time when you go to confession, you say, "Bless me, Father, I have sinned. My last confession was, for example, a month ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, yeah? Or maybe a couple months ago. And I did my penance, or I didn't. Yeah? And these are my sins." And you say your sins.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to point out the act of confession. Mm-hmm. If you don't ever try,
yes, in our church, not everywhere. Yeah, but again, if you forget, you just say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Yeah, or you can make up even your own act of contrition. Yes, I confess to Almighty God. Yes, so it's up. It depends on situation. Yes. Okay, that's a confession. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. When I was instructed, when I became Catholic, the priest was talking to me about reconciliation, and sometimes if you confess into a priest you don't know, it's sometimes helpful to say what your vocation is, whether you're married, first or last.
Yes.
But how about if you give a context?
Yes, you may, for example, "I'm a married man, yeah, I'm a married woman, yes, I have 3 kids, so gives you a priest idea, yes. So, for example, if I go to the priest who does not know me, then usually I mention I'm a priest, so he knows I am a priest. Yeah. So, so that's more or less you can say that. Yeah. But again, confession time is not a counseling. It's not a time for chatting with a priest. "I have a problem. I need time to talk about it." No. That's beside that. Confession is strictly confessing my sins, receiving absolution, and that's it. Yeah? It's not time for counseling, it is not a time for talking. Yeah? If you want to talk, if you want to have a little counseling, make an appointment another time with a priest. Yeah? Especially sometimes when you have a penitential service in Lent time, and there's a long line of people waiting, and someone is going, I need to, "Father, do you have half an hour time? I need to talk because I have a serious problem." There's not a time for that. Yeah? And I say, "Look how many people waiting." Yes? We have to be charitable. Yes? So let's maybe make an appointment. Yes? We can do we can talk another time. It's not the time for that. So you have to distinguish Counseling is a totally different thing than confession. Okay? Confession is a sacrament.
And for the few people, there are not many that are converting from other denominations. You have to make your first confession, your first reconciliation with the priest, and we recommend you make an appointment with the priest. Because they wouldn't get to be off, because you're talking about a couple of years now, and it's your first time. So that's the recommendation. You don't have to do it that way, but those who have done it before or have been called, highly recommend, make an appointment, come in to the office, maybe they'll take you into the confessional at that time, but when you've got time, you've got people banging at the door, when is it coming to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be Catholic to go to the confessional?
Yes, because that's a sacrament that reconciles you with the church, ourselves. So you have to be a member of the Catholic Church. Unless, At the point of your death, yeah, you're dying, but you say, I'm not Catholic, but I believe what the Church teaches, I want to be reconciled, yeah, I want to be with God. Then in an extraordinary situation like that, the priest can he give you. Thank you for mentioning to me this, because what happens if someone dies and realize, oh, I did terrible things in my life, and I'm dying, and there's no priest available around. What to do? No. Exactly. Make an act of contrition. So if we practice act of contrition, Lord have mercy, for all your whole life. So I believe that God will give you grace on your deathbed, when you will be almost stiff. Yeah? Yeah? You know? When you will be like this. Yeah? You will be able to say to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Have mercy on me. Yes? And this, at this moment, even if the priest is not available, yeah? So at that moment, this act of contrition is valid too. Will God not accept you? Of course he will. Yes? Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So this is very important to practice act of contrition through our whole life. So you will have the grace at the last moment, at the last breath, to say to Jesus, to turn to God.
Well, when I was started going through this program, I was been baptized in the Baptist Church. But because I was baptized, even though I hadn't been confirmed yet, the priest was there giving reconciliation, much reconciliation. I was told.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. For those people who are not Catholic, because catechumens are different people, you know. We recognize them already as a Catholics. Yeah? So if you're non-Catholic, you will receive the sacrament of reconciliation. True. Yes, thank you. Yes, before you become a Catholic, because as a catechumen, you are recognized as a Catholic already. Yes? Based on your desire to become a Catholic. So this is a condition that you may go to confession even before becoming a Catholic. Yes. Only in this situation, yes. Yes. Is it clear? Yes.
Okay.
Let's go to sacrament of the sick. This is another beautiful sacrament. Summer, if you happen to be sick, not because of the flu. No. Not good. No, unless it is H1N1. Unless. But if it happens, it's a beautiful sacrament in which Jesus comes to you, in this sacrament, Jesus comes to you to be united with you during this time, to strengthen you, to accept the cross. So anointing of the sick, sacrament of healing, gives health of soul and sometimes body by prayer and anointing with the oil. So, its purpose is to confer special grace. Special grace. Grace, what is grace? Okay? The grace, it is, imagine, God's grace, it is, we call this God's action. Whatever God is doing in your life, it is, we call this grace. Yes? God is healing you, it is grace. God is supporting you, yes, spiritually, it is grace. God is giving you natural give grace of walking, breathing today, yes? Making coffee, drinking coffee, it is His grace. That you are able to sit down and write down a book, for example, it is God's grace, natural God's grace. We have different types of God's grace. If you want to study theology, there's a special section of in theology that you, about God's grace. You know, different types of graces. Yeah, but in the grace, it is whatever God is doing in your life, it we call this grace. So try to remember this as a name for that. Could be, but it's God's action. God's action in your life. It's what God gives you, spiritual fuel. Yeah? God gives you strength. God gives you comfort, hope. Yeah, that's His grace. So grace on Christians who are suffering from grave illness or the exhaustion of the old age. So if you will be 100 years old age, yeah, you may receive the sacrament. Yeah, for example. Yeah, yeah. So you still have a long life. Yeah. Christ healed people both to demonstrate that He was the Messiah and out of compassion for those who were suffering. This act shows us that the kingdom of God has come upon us and that this kingdom brings a more radical healing than merely physical cures. If you follow everyday Mass, today, right now we read the Gospel of Mark. Mark, begins his Gospel from showing Jesus how He cures, yeah, and dispels evil spirits, yeah, and how many times he laid down His hands on the sick people, and that was a moment, yeah, when people received the grace of healing, physical healing as well, yeah, but also spiritual healing. Sacrament of the sick brings healing and victory over sin and death through Christ's own death on a cross. Again, Mark 1, I invite you to read this passage, and from Luke chapter 14, 1 to 6. Why do we need the sacrament? Because if you are during sickness, do you feel great? No. Your mind is pure? No. Your will is strong? No. So you are pooped. You are almost dead. You don't want to live. You tend to cry, yes? You all fall into self-pity. You become then all kinds of filth, all impure actions, impure intentions comes out from you, okay? The pride in you is like the steam is coming out from your ears, you know, and that's all negative thoughts come out from you. So, who takes advantage of this moment? Mm-hmm. He does. And what he says? Are you sure that God is existing? Are you sure that He loves you? Are you sure that you are forgiven? Are you sure that the church, it is just a fake? Yeah? The priest made it up? He takes advantage of this moment. Especially when we get weak and sick and sick. This is why we need the sacrament. Yeah? We need the sacrament. Yeah? So that's why we need to go to Jesus. No, Lord, protect me, save me, rescue me from these different thoughts. I'm not surprised that even thoughts of euthanasia come across your mind. I'm not surprised. It is one of the temptations. Especially in a very serious situation when someone is sick for a long time. It's like a vegetable lying in the bed for many, many years. So you think that Satan will not infuse this thought? Give me a shot, that's it. I don't want to suffer anymore. Yeah? So let's not be surprised. I'm not surprised. This thought can come across our mind. Temptation. Yeah? So, analogy of the sick is administered by a priest, of course, the bishop. And so, which is a prayer, laying the hands, and prayer of the sick, and anointing. The priest anoints the forehead, and the hands, the palms, inside of palms of your hands. Yeah? In the past was the feet and lips and eyes in the past, but today is very simplified. Yeah, it is just forehead and and the hands of the palms of your hands anointing. Yeah? So we use a special oil. We have three types of oil here for the catechumens. So you'll be anointed, yes. We have the chrism. You'll be anointed with the chrism of salvation. You will use the oil for baptism, confirmation, and for the priesthood. Yeah? And we have another one, the oil of the sick. There's a special, I usually have a little container. Yes, and I keep always, it's good for you to know as a future priest, to keep that in a car. Yeah, in a car. That's what I have. This is a special first aid kit. Yeah, so I keep it, you know, in my first aid kit. And just in case if I'm called to the sick person, could be in the hospital, could be at home privately, or sometimes even on the road. Yes, on the road when I see a car accident or someone who is dying and asking for a priest, there you go. I have all these things with me in my car, so I can use it anytime. It's a kind of emergency. Yeah. Don't wait. So it is very important. Anointing. Okay, let's go. Union of the sick person to the passion of Christ. Effects of the sacrament. To be united with Christ to the passion of Christ. Strength, peace, courage, to endure in a Christian manner the suffering of illness or old age. To bear witness to Christ even at this situation. Because Pope, blessed Pope John Paul II, he said, we have three types of apostolate. Apostolate is a way of evangelization. You know, proclaiming God's good news and bringing good news to all people. Three ways. Prayer, apostolate of activity, working, yes, doing many things, yeah. And the Pope also mentioned, and one of them is suffering. And he said the most effective way is what? Suffering. If you accept it, and you offer the suffering for the church, for someone, for the conversion of people. So, you who came to our CA program, who knows? Maybe you are the fruit of people who suffered and who accepted this suffering, this illness. Those people could be in Africa or maybe in Asia. We do not know. Or someone who knows you. Or maybe who do not know you. Yeah? But those people who are accepted this suffering, so this produces special graces in the church. Yes? We call this Jesus in the church has her own treasury of God's graces. And God used these graces stored up in the treasury. Yeah? And so someone experienced the grace of conversion. Someone experienced a desire, okay, I want to be a Catholic. I want to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. But then goes, links to Darlene, and phones, you know what, I would like to join this church. Maybe you are the fruit of this suffering, of a member of the church. Who knows? In heaven you will know. God will tell you. Yes. Forgiveness of sins, and the sacrament, if you're not able to confess your sins, also forgives your sins. Yeah. Usually it is connected with confession, but sometimes who is not able to confess sins because that person almost dying is dying, so then I give absolution. I rely on the faith that person has a right attitude here, yeah, or disposition of the soul, and anoint that person. Again, if you happen to be sick, or if you someone in your family member is sick, don't wait until that person almost is dead. Call the priest as soon as possible. When you are still able to make your confession, to prepare yourself, if you know, okay, by God's will, God's willing, this sickness leads me to sin, leads me to death, yeah? Perhaps this is my last stage of my life. So, let it be, Lord, but I want to prepare myself. prepare myself, yeah, to encounter you in heaven. So I want to be prepared by receiving the sacrament of penance and sacrament of sickness as well. Yeah? Yes, that's another situation when you know that you'll be for a while, you'll be fragile, weak, and going to surgery, you'll be staying in the hospital, so you may ask priest for the sacrament, and also because of the age, you feel that you know your mind is slowly fading, yes, your bones, you know, crumbling down, you know, you feel that you like, cannot move, yeah. Yes. So maybe, yeah, if you see the gray hair on your head, yeah, oh, I'm aging, yes, yeah, so maybe it's good to receive the sacrament. Okay. If effects of the anointing of the sick, restoration of sanctifying grace. If so, for mortal sin is present, because again, that's a sin. If, for example, that person is not able to make confession, yeah, almost barely unconscious, yeah, and barely conscious, and is not able, but is aware of a desire, having desire to be forgiven, yes. So even if I'm aware of my mortal sin in the past, yeah. But I want to be forgiven. I want to be united with Jesus. This sacrament can make restore your sanctifying grace. So bring your soul back to Jesus. Yeah? Restoration of health if it is good for the salvation of the person's soul. Sometimes it happens that even this sacrament can heal people from physical point of view. Yes? Medical point of view. Preparation for the moment of death. As I mentioned, resist devil's temptation. So that's one of the ways. When to have the sacrament, there's no need to wait till a person is in danger of death to call the priest. Usually it happens, unfortunately. That's the reality is. When I'm on call to the hospital, they call me, Father, come to me because that person is dying. No? Sometimes it happens that it's too late. A few times it happened in my life. When I went to the person, that person, when he died, an hour ago, what can I do? The sacrament is only for this, for people who are alive, not for the dead. Yeah? So there's no point even to call a priest. Yeah? Okay, the priest may come to pray with the family, but this sacrament cannot be given to someone who already died. Now, unless that person died already, I had also a few times. When a person is still, the body is still warm, and I see that a sister or a nurse tells me, that person died already, right now, yes? So I can give conditional sacrament. If you're alive, yeah? If you're alive, I anoint you, yes? Or I forgive you. But it's a beautiful moment. I talked a year ago about a beautiful moment of a beautiful death. Right, one of the sisters, Providence, a precious blood sister, was dying when I was a pastor at Annunciation Church. And was next to the church was a convent, it's not anymore, yes? And one holy sister, very pious sister, was dying. I was called to the hospital, Misericordia Hospital. And when I was praying, I gave her the sacrament. We began to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the Litany to All Saints. And it was a beautiful moment of prayer. Go forth, Christian soul, from this world, in the name of God, the Almighty Father, who created you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who suffered for you. In the name of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out upon you. Go forth, faithful Christian. May you live in peace this day. May your home be with God in Zion. With Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with Joseph and all the angels and saints, go forth, O Christian soul. When I said that beautiful prayer, this sister left this world. It was a beautiful moment. And I honestly felt great joy. The death of moment was not a dramatic moment of death. You know, when we die with Christ, in union with Christ, it is a happy moment. That's why in a traditional way, we also pray for a happy death. What it means, happy death? That the moment of my death will be the moment of when I encounter Jesus face to face. It is a joyful moment, and I felt this joy. You know, this joy when I said, go forth for Christian, exact at that moment, she left. Yeah? But next day, when I was called to the hospital, was dying some, another person was dying, was totally different death. Of course, I cannot make any judgment, yeah? But it was totally different death. Full of anxiety, full of pain. I kind of was, I had a totally different feeling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now, and ever. Amen. Thank you.